Welcome to the Caring Advisor podcast. This is Elizabeth Brickman, and I'm so glad you're here. Here's a question. Is money a source of frustration, futility, and fatigue? Does it cause stress and dissatisfaction? I can help. You may feel powerless, but you're not. I'm on a mission to help you close the gaps, heal the hurts, and put God at the center of your finances. Welcome to the Caring Advisor. I'm really excited today to invite my dear friend, Julie Lavender. She is an accomplished author of 10 books with another book on the way soon. And I will tell you that she is a mother extraordinaire, and all of her books have to do with either being a mom or taking care of those kids. Welcome to the show, Julie.
Thank you so much. I am so glad to be here.
Oh my goodness. And your background is in teaching?
That's exactly right. Yes, I have a master's in early childhood education. I knew that I wanted to be a teacher from the time I was a little girl and pursued that and really enjoyed teaching school. I only taught for about 6 years before I started my family, but I loved every minute of it.
And then when you started your family, you stayed at home.
That's exactly right. I knew our plan was for me to be a stay-at-home mom. I had had a stay-at-home mom until I got older, and I just really love home. And so I just knew I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I really thought I would go back to teaching. That was the intention of after we had our children, I would go back to teaching. And I think when my oldest was about 3 years old, I started thinking about homeschooling, and I really intended to only do that for 1 year, but I prayerfully considered that, and then it turned into career homeschooling, so I just never went back, and that is when I actually started writing after I became a stay-at-home mom. I had kind of started while I was still teaching, but yes, I turned into a career stay-at-home mom and a career homeschooling mom and loved every minute of it. There were times that I used to joke and say, you know, I love being home with my children. There are a couple of times I thought I might sell them for just a dime to somebody that came to the front door, and that thought was fleeting, but I really, really enjoyed my motherhood.
We had a homeschool mom on a couple of weeks ago, and she said, I didn't think I could possibly have the patience to be with my kids all day. Now, I want our friends around the world to know that we are not pushing homeschooling. What we are pushing on is living in the fullness of the success that God has ordained for you. And for many people, that involves homeschooling. And motherhood is the highest level of any calling we could have. So if you feel called or just a longing to be a very active full-time mom, you can never feel guilty or less than someone who is making a different kind of choice, because motherhood is a noble choice, and a successful mother means a success story. I should tell our friends that Julie and I are close friends. We're in the same writers group through Word Weavers. We text one another in our little group every single day, and we read one another's words every month. And so I am very fortunate to always get sneak peeks at what's coming. And this is one author you do not want to miss. She is delightful. You think like a kid sometimes. I just don't know how you...
Elizabeth, you are just so sweet. I'm just grinning from ear to ear listening to you. And I'm thinking about our sweet little group and how we pray for one another every day. And we share these prayer requests. And you know what? Those words that you just said right there, that's why we need whatever kind of group we have as a mom, as a professional, whatever. Your encouragement to me on a daily basis is unbelievable. That is truly your gift. And I appreciate it so much. And I think as mothers, we need that group however we can find them, whether that's in our church, whether that's our neighborhood, whether that's extended family, whatever that is. But I do appreciate you so much. And it's kind of funny. I was grinning as you said that, like 5 minutes. I don't know if you've had the chance to look at your phone, but 5 minutes before you and I jumped on here, I sent a quick text and said, I know this is a weird prayer request, but my daughter's having that test she has to take for gestational diabetes when she's pregnant. And she got sick and couldn't do the test after drinking that junk last time. I said, please pray for her at 10:15. I mean, that's the kind of prayers we shoot off to one another. And that is so important to me.
It really is. And so what you're saying is that if you decide to be a full-time mom, don't do it casually. Jump in, find other full-time moms, support one another in prayer, support one another with resources. That's really important. And it's getting more common and easier to have these text prayer groups for different segments. I have them in one Bible study I'm part of course, with you, and our writers group. You know, Julie, you really define motherhood to me. You exude motherliness. In fact, a couple of weeks ago for fun, I did something, played a little game where I thought of each person in our little group of seven and what is the one word that defines them. And the word that came to mind for you, as you know, was mother. And it doesn't define all of you, but it defines a significant and wonderful part of you. Now, when you talk about supporting one another in whatever it is we're doing, whether we're in the midst of getting another degree at college or building an entrepreneurial business or being a mother, we need to support each other. And you have one of your books that I have in front of me is Strength for All Seasons. And we're going to put this in the show notes. And it's a mom's devotional of powerful verses, Bible verses and prayers. Tell our audience a little bit about that.
You know, that was such a fun book to do because I've never felt like a strong person. And this was an assignment by my publisher. They came up with the basic idea for the book and gave me a few parameters and then let me run with the book and pick out the verses I wanted to use. And in writing that book, it was just so reaffirming to me to know that as a mom, as a former teacher, as a writer now, as a homeschooling mom, whatever I chose to do, I don't have the strength to do that on my own. The only way I can do that is through God's strength. I have to rely on Him every single day, whether that was, you know, changing endless diapers or now praying for my two pregnant daughters. Whatever that is, I have to rely on God's strength. And it was such a fun book to do. And so the book is all about just clinging to Him and recognizing that, you know, it's not to make light of whatever issue we're in, whatever stage of motherhood we're in, because the book is designed for moms of young children to all the way to empty nesters and older moms. So it's not designed to belittle anything because, you know, sometimes we can say, oh, enjoy every moment to a mom with little children. And when they're changing diapers and they've got a colicky baby and they're not getting any sleep at night, sometimes that almost seems like we're putting them down and belittling what is going on with them. So the book is not designed in that way at all. It's just to remind us that motherhood is an amazing calling, but it's very hard. It's very difficult. There's a lot of issues that we face as mothers, and we can't do this alone. We have to have God along with us and use His strength. And that doesn't mean life's going to be easy just because we lean on Him. It just means He is going to be there with us and going to get us through everything we face.
That is fantastic what you're saying. You know, it's so important not to minimize or belittle the hard parts of life. Whether what's hard is constant developing yourself in any enterprise, including motherhood and homemaking. What's the hardest thing about being a mom?
I think the hardest thing about being a mom to me and at this stage is knowing that we're so wrapped up in these children from the minute they're born. And yes, we train them up in the Lord. We want them to grow into these adults. But then, you know, I just didn't think about that if I grew them into adults, then they were actually going to leave me. And so it's hard thinking about them moving away and me not being their sole protector, their sole provider, if you will, you know, helping them make decisions, not necessarily when they're teenagers or older, you know, you try to guide them, but just, and you know, we're not supposed to worry. We're supposed to give our worries over to the Lord. But to me, the hardest part about being a mom is the constant worry. When they're little, you worry if they're going to fall off the playground swing and break an arm. You know, when they get a little bit older, you worry if somebody is going to twist their arm into doing something they don't want to do. When they get even older than that, you're worried if somebody's going to hurt their feelings. It's just, to me, there's a constant, you know, what if? And those are the things I have to turn over to the Lord every single day. So to me, the hardest part is just letting go. I guess that's the easiest way to say it.
That is so powerful. You know, I remember when my sister's daughter, my niece, went off to college, and I was praying for her, but I was praying even more for my sister, because she had to get used to not being able to care for her every minute. And it's really a challenge to let go. But when you train them in the way that they should go, as you have, my sister has, and so many moms have, then it takes a little bravery to just to get through those first a few years. But, you know, I can remember having laughing conversations with my own stepmom when she was older, and she had seven of us, and saying, "Mom, I guess you didn't realize that there's no retirement plan from motherhood."
That's exactly right.
If she would talk to all seven of us in one day, there went her day.
That's right. And sometimes it's easy to think when they turn 18 or when they finish college or whatever, that, you know, your mothering days are over. And that was kind of hard for me, but it's not. It's just a different phase, and we'll always be mothers.
I want to talk about all your books, but in Strength for All Seasons, one of the things I really love about it, I give this book away a lot. I actually give it away as a package with two of your other books when someone has a baby, as you know, from the thank you I shared with you that someone sent me the other day. But what I love about this is each devotional is really short. Tell just for a moment about this particular book.
Well, I love too that it's short, because, you know, it's geared towards moms. We don't always have a whole lot of time. And I do hope that moms take the time to read God's word first and foremost. But then I wanted to have this book for them to just 5-10 minutes at least to just dig into their day a little bit more. It starts off with a verse like some of my favorites: "Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." That's in Psalm. So many of my favorite verses: 1 Chronicles 16:11, "Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his presence continually." So it starts with a Bible verse. It has a quick story, a little anecdote from either a mom I knew or something that happened to me. And then about some kind of issue of motherhood, and then some kind of an application process. And then there's some time of reflection, some questions that hopefully will have them, the mom, be able to apply it more directly to her own life, and then a prayer. So it's very quick and short, but it puts us in God's word and it puts us in his presence and helps us just lean more into his strength.
Yeah, 5 minutes in the morning, and then you can linger in that when everything else impacts, when the milk is spilled, or when the teenager insists she has to go to a certain party, or when the adult child makes a decision to move across the country,
right,
or what have you. You need something to cling to immediately. You're not going to be able to think of that in a minute. It should be already ready to go, that you will have your resource ready. So you started to write children's books. And how did that happen? Was it when the kids were older and you realized you'd be a grandparent, or maybe you were a grandparent?
It's actually a really fun part of my writing journey. When I was teaching school, so long before children, when I was teaching school, I just fell in love with children's literature. I had always loved children's books growing up, but I didn't come from a wealthy family. We didn't have a lot of books in our home, so they weren't readily accessible to me. And so, but I loved children's literature when I was teaching. And I, but there were also some I found that weren't so great. And I thought, you know, it must be easy to write a children's book. I mean, that was my thought as I, as I'm a teacher here. So I started looking into it a little bit more and tried my hand at it, failed miserably because I didn't do it the right way. And then I think by then I had become a stay-at-home mom. And so I started really researching and maybe going to a few conferences and things. And so that was my first goal. But God led me down a completely different path. Most of the books I wrote were not children's picture books. I do have a children's Bible stories for bedtime book. This is obviously for children, but it's for older children. It's for children's 4 through 8, and it's more designed for the mom to read to the kids. But
I love that book.
I appreciate you so much. I know you have shared that book with a lot of people, and it is my heart project. It really is, to know that children are reading God's word from a project that the Lord allowed me to write. Love it.
And I love that book for me. I like to read.
I like it too. I love children's Bible storybooks. Long before I got this project, this writing project, I had collected children's Bible stories to read to my own children. And I have so many at home. I really love them. I love reading God's word in my big person book, but I love reading children's Bible stories. Love it.
I do too.
So I'd always had that dream, but God led me down a totally different path. So I've written almost 3 decades now, and my very first children's picture book is coming out in the fall, and it's called A Gingerbread House. And it's almost like God said, here's what I want you to write, but hang on to that dream because I'm going to give you that dream eventually. And so I love it, and I'm so excited about it. And the idea, I have a 5-year-old grandson and two grandchildren on the way. The idea that they might go to a library or their school library and that book, my children's book, might be there just warms my heart so much. And it will be such a sweet treat from the Lord.
You know, no matter what our calling is, we want to give our all to it. Remember that when we think in terms of the 7 powers, we want to know who we are, our identity, who God made us to be. We want to know what our mission is, and we'll have many missions during our lifetime, but right now this mission is for these pregnant daughters and these adult kids and these grandchildren. We want to give ourselves permission to be all in. In other words, not be wavering every single day. Oh, maybe I really should go out and get a job. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this because it's too joyful. We want to give ourselves permission to do the thing we were called to do and give no thought to that lukewarm, straddling the fence, waveringness. My calling is to support you and others in their calling. And this is a fantastic calling. If you were to give a scripture that really has helped you withstand the hard times or rejoice in the good times in motherhood, what would that be?
You know, one of my favorite verses is, taste and see that the Lord is good. And it's kind of it's a simple one. And I really think you know, because you've heard me talk in our little group, how much I love to bake and cook.
Yes.
One of my love languages for others is, and especially my family, is cooking and baking. I love cooking a meal that I know my husband or my children are going to enjoy. I love baking sweets and taking to my now adult children. My children's friends knew me by a certain cookie or a certain whatever, because they knew I was going to bring that to the youth group or something like that.
You know, I can remember as a child being deeply gratified by other people's moms who did things and shared with the friends. It was a wonderful feeling. You know, you never know what child is engaged with your own children or grandchildren who are not being well parented or whose parents are away all the time. So your motherliness is really impacting people that you'll never know till you get to heaven.
That's a very sweet thought. That's a very heartwarming thought. And I did, and there were some of my children's friends that either they maybe didn't have a parent who showed a lot of love and attention that way. And then there were some that were just busy and couldn't. And so I did love doing that and sharing with my children's friends. And something about that verse, taste and see, it's like I want people to experience God with all of their senses. You know, we taste this wonderful, yummy cake that we've made, but yet it opens our eyes to the provisions and the good gifts from God. I just absolutely love that verse. And I think it goes way deeper if we really think about it. And I think we are supposed to experience God with all of our senses, whether we are changing diapers, whether we're letting a child go off to college, whether we're praying every day for the newborn grandchild that's going to be born. God is so good. Not all things are good in life, but God is always good. And not all parts of my motherhood were good. There were some difficult, trying, hard, very hard times, but I just wouldn't trade that for anything. I finally, through prayer and the Lord revealing to me, I was able to say, this is God's plan for us at this moment, is for us to homeschool, for me to be a full-time homeschooling mom, and for me to be a full-time stay-at-home mom. And it took a little bit for me to recognize that, even though that's what I wanted, it took a little bit for me to recognize that. And once I was able to recognize it, like you said, it gave me such peace to know that was what I was supposed to do, was to be a mom. That was my career. And I was totally satisfied with that. And I have no regrets at all.
You know, this is season 2 of the Caring Advisor podcast. And last year for Mother's Day, I wrote an episode from the perspective of the child to the mother. So trying to help people understand their mothers, forgive their mothers for their imperfections, and have peace with mothers who may already have passed away. This year, I wanted to choose a mother and give the message from the mother's side of it. And I cannot think of a better model than you. Julie, my dear friend, thank you so much for being with us today. And it's just a joy to have your words and your voice on my podcast. I'm thrilled that you were able to be with us.
It was a delight and quite an honor. And you have just made my day. And I really appreciate you. And I appreciate your encouragement so much. I truly do. You are truly encouraging. And that's what women need, whether we're moms or whatever fashion we are a mom, we need that encouragement. And I appreciate you so much.
We're going to put a couple of your books in the show notes so that if any moms or any sons or daughters of moms want to check it out, it'll be right there with links to Amazon, because your books are just so worth having. Bye for now. Let's continue our conversation. We're in season 2 and our fan base is growing around the world. Hello, Germany, Australia, Canada, and Brazil. Thanks for being with us. Want to be informed of the next weekly episode? Subscribe and click the little bell. Want free resources and my special caring support? Subscribe to ElizabethBrickman.com. Now, come on, say it with me. Let's close the gaps, heal the hurts, and put God at the center of our finances. And thanks, Tyler Harrison. You're an excellent audio engineer.